Welcome back to New Rockstars. We are in the final countdown for Spider-Man No Way Home, folks. And I'm having trouble eating. I'm having trouble sleeping. I need Spider-Man now. Just like J. Jonah Jameson needs pictures of Spider-Man. I just can't take it anymore. Break open the multiverse already. This is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles that we love. My name is MT, and going rogue with me today is our very own master of the multiverse. It's Jessica Clemons. What's going on, James?
I'm excited to be here. Thank you, Trebek.
Oh, are you speaking rock bottom? I don't understand your accent. Sorry. SpongeBob jokes. I love them. Hey, also joining us is the host of the Mass Effect Adventum podcast. It's Matt Acevedo. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, man? Dude, that was like, perfect. That was perfection. That's good to be back.
And finally, the host of the Filmlosophers podcast, it's Eddie Villanueva. What's going on,
bro? What is up, guys? It has been a year of great things, and we're going to hit this end on strong, and we're going to talk about some Spider-Man.
We are just days away from the premiere of Spider-Man No Way Home in theaters next week, and this is our last Rogue Theory before the release. So it is time to make some final predictions, gang. So that brings us to our first topic of today. Who will be the most surprising cameo in Spider-Man No Way Home? Because we're just going to run through a list of all the major cameos we expect to see in No Way Home and like discuss the likelihood each will appear at some point during the runtime. So feel free to use like a percentage certainty here. So like, you know, 80%, 90%, just put some odds on it. So let's make some final bets. So let's start off with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield as Peter Parkers. What are the odds there?
I think that's an easy 100%.
I would bet money. I will bet, I'm not a gambling man, but I would bet my fake money on this, their appearance. I really do.
Yeah.
I think I know when they're going to appear. On both of them. I definitely think both of them are going to. And Andrew Garfield in all of his interviews is playing like super coy. Like he's like, oh no, stop it. I'm not in it. No, yeah, that guy's totally in it. And so is Tobey Maguire, but Tobey's better. He's doing a terrible job. Terrible job. I think so. We all saw that last trailer. Where we saw Peter falling and like reaching for Mary MJ, right? Kind of like reflecting on like it reminded me of like the Gwen Stacy scene. Yeah. I think.
Right.
This might be like too fan servicey, but I think that's when they're gonna show up, which I hate. I personally hate it, but I think that's when they're gonna show up. Like Andrew Garfield's gonna be like, no, not in this universe.
Right. I personally hate it.
I hate it, but I think that's when they're gonna show up.
I'm not gonna go 0-for-2. I have to agree with Matt. Like I think it's one of the most for sure things we do know, despite no confirmation of it at all, aside from, you know, little clips here or there, people who have taken trailer footage from early trailer releases. You know, I think that's the one thing that we can actually say with pretty good certainty that it's going to be 100%. They'll be there. Like this movie's just okay. I'd be surprised if they weren't.
Okay. So okay, let me just like extra clarify this, because I said Andrew and Toby as Peter Parker. Is there a chance that these two could be like a variant of other people, different characters, or maybe potentially, and this is what I think personally, that these two could very much be Mysterio illusions, because Andrew Garfield is very much saying, I'm not coming back as Spider-Man. So it's either he's a variant or he's a Mysterio illusion. So what are the odds of them coming back as like not really their Peter Parkers, but as like a variant or just a different type of character?
I think that would be an interesting take. I don't know if that's a real big possibility, because with everything they've done to dance around it, I feel like doing something like that would completely just dissatisfy fans all over the place. Like, oh, you're just a mirage.
You really would.
You know, and the fact that you have somebody like Mysterio who has no idea who these particular people are, having them come in and then having the audience recognize them for being Spider-Man, but having the actual villains in there or whatnot, it would be really, really interesting to kind of get that information into Mysterio's head to be able to create that. But I mean, who knows?
Right.
You know, we've seen worse.
It's like, how meta can we get? Like, how meta can we get in this universe? Maybe, like, you know, Mysterio ends up making the Raimi Spider-Mans. And he's like,
that would be crazy. That'd be crazy.
Once again, if that happened, I'd hate it. I'd hate that, and I think it'd be a disservice if they were just like illusions, but you never know.
All right, so not as high of a likely there for you guys as much as them being actual Peter Parkers.
If we were supposed to put a number on it, I'd say like that one, 30%.
Okay, 30%. Okay,
30%.
Okay,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on with, because we also got the Venomverse. So Tom Hardy as Venom, Eddie Brock. Like, what is that a percent certainty there?
Like, my number is like a 30% on that, because I'm like, okay, I don't think we're ready yet. I think we'll see it in either the next Spider-Man or we'll see it in the next Venom. I don't think we're going to see it in, I think it was just like, see how crazy everything happened was. But I don't think, there's so much going on. I don't think we're ready for Venom to just like jump in out of nowhere when we're already getting all the other villains, and then we're getting Toby and we're getting Andrew Garfield, just like one at a time. And then I think, which we'll get onto later, I think Charlie Cox will also be in it. So it's like, that's too many people. There's too many people, too many hands in the pot. Yeah. Yeah, too many cooks in the kitchen.
If they're gonna throw all their eggs out in that one basket of a film, I mean, Sony's trying to elongate their opportunity to hold on to Spider-Man and that property and especially that universe. So they're going to want to tease but never fully unveil, you know, and there may be mentions, just like we got in the trailer with Morbius, you know, like, oh, I am Venom. No, I'm just kidding. Blah, blah. Like that, I think, is going to be the full extent of our nod or alluding to they're a part of the same universe in that film. I don't know if, like Jess said, I don't think fans and I don't think the studio is ready to actually show that much of a like in proximity to each other type of event.
Eddie, I'm not to jump off of that. I'm a little like freaked out. Like I know Matt, I am not ready for Tom Hardy Venom to be in this universe. But if I look at the pieces like that they keep, like the Morbius trailer, we see Vulture in the Morbius trailer, and that's but Morbius knows who Venom is. So it's like what is. Is this going to be like a combined? Is this a battle world thing where they're combining everyone? Is this like the ultimate, like kind of like the ultimate universe coming into the 616 universe? Is this that? Like, is this the merger? Like, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but I, with the trailers and like with the release of the Morbius trailer, it kind of feels like they're going to marry these universes. And I don't know if I'm ready for that, man.
It'll be eventually. I don't think it's coming soon. I think Sony's like, we're going to keep putting in nods of MCU in here because we're coming. And MCU's like, okay, slow down, Sony. Marvel's like, you'll get in there eventually. Just wait your turn. We still got a lot of
Everybody's got
property.
That Kevin Feige look when they're like, oh, they're going to be a part of the same universe.
Yeah.
I
feel like if you keep tipping your hat to it, you'll eventually get in.
Because when we see Venom, he comes to the MCU and he sees on screen Peter Parker as Spider-Man, like, but like, I don't know that interaction, like, I don't know how he's gonna, like, why would he go after this, like, Spider-Man? Like, it just feels so, from the outside, not being in the writer's room, it's like, it just feels so forced to me, and I'm like, I'm nervous about it, because I love how Eddie Brock was introduced originally into the Spider-Man universe, and this feels like, it just feels a little hokey for me.
And they've already mentioned, like, aside from that little clip at the end of it of the Morbius trailer, you also have them mentioning, like, oh, this is as freaky as a thing that happened in San Francisco or whatever, whatnot, like alluding to the events that happened in San Francisco, i.e. with Eddie Brock and everything else, or whatever that allusion is towards. I don't think we're going to get any mention of Venom or not mention, no vision of physical representation of Venom. But I do think we're going to get maybe an allusion or a, you know, mention of it, because I think they're saving a lot of that for Morbius. I think Morbius is going to be the one that really kind of shows that side of the anti-hero squad, if you will, and push more towards that.
It's a great conversation, because I legitimately, I'm like, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. Like,
I don't think he's going to show up. What do you guys think he's going to show up?
You don't think he's going to show up? Okay. So, like, what do you guys think of the possibility of, you know, we know in the trailers that Doctor Strange says, we've had some visitors, but we don't know the visitors that Doctor Strange ran into before he charges Peter with doing, you know, fixing his own mistakes. So essentially, what if Venom tries to, like, get Peter because he thinks he's a criminal, and then he's like, all right, and then Doctor Strange is like, oh, what are you doing? You can't be here. You're bad. You gotta go back to your box, or back to the Sonyverse.
Go back to your box.
And so, I mean, I just feel like there's an opportunity for Venom to just go and try to get Peter Parker because he's trying to be a lethal protector and he's being portrayed as this villain. So I think there is a spot for Venom. And we did see those pictures of Tom Hardy with the hat.
That is true.
Tom Hardy with the No Way Home hat.
If it'll be in there, I think it'll just be at the very end. It'll be at the very end. I think it'll be in a credit scene, but that's it.
And it may not even be Venom himself. It might just be Tom Hardy saying, hey, we
Eddie
need to talk.
Yeah, it might be. Right, yeah, oh, as for sure.
I also think if they run into each other, it's not going to be like... they're not going to be rivals or enemies. I think he's going to help whatever the cause is in this situation. Maybe something happens where they, where the symbiote maybe takes an attraction to. I don't remember where they left off in Venom. I think they resolved their relationship issues, Venom and Eddie Brock. But
they were on a honeymoon together.
Yeah,
on the
exactly.
Beach.
That's right. But I think I don't know, man. Like they're going to team up first before. I don't think they're going to hate each other in the beginning.
Yeah. All right, so what about Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, the Daredevil man? What are the odds of him showing up in Spider-Man No Way Home?
That just seems like a really that would be a great fan service type thing. And with everything that's been released and all the leaks and everything else, aside from that, I feel like it would be a really strong contender for being a part of that universe, like to show up. Because Charlie Cox has been one of the strongest front runners in terms of popularity for the Netflix Marvel front.
Oh, absolutely.
And so a lot of people knowing that Charlie Cox is super into the idea of coming back and reprising his role and doing the Daredevil, character all over again with them. I feel like it's just a matter of time. I feel like it's going to be in the film. I don't know if we'll get a glimpse of him in the full suit, but I feel like we'll get a glimpse of Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock.
I want Charlie Cox to be in it. I don't think this will be his appearance. I kind of think like this is I see this as a great opportunity for She-Hulk, for Jennifer Walters to make an appearance because she in the comics she represents she's a defense lawyer for superheroes. So this is like kind of up her alley. So I think I don't think she'd be She-Hulk yet, but maybe just like that. I forgot who was confirmed to play her, but maybe she shows up as like, not as She-Hulk, but as Jennifer Walters to represent Spider-Man in this case.
That's actually a good point. Very good point. Cause she did represent superheroes and this is pretty much the few times where superheroes in the hot seat like this.
Yeah.
For sure. What about you, Jess? What are your percentages?
I think it's 100%. I also just really am holding on to that, like, him being his lawyer scene and also Kevin Feige being like, yes, he's going to have a place in the MCU. I think it's because it's, like, it's starting with Spider-Man. They're going to have his little nod of, like, hey, I'm a lawyer. You don't know I'm a superhero.
Hey, I'm a lawyer.
I'm a lawyer.
Peter's like, oh, my God, I'm a lawyer.
From the shadows, like Alfred Hitchcock style, I'm a lawyer. No, but I think he will. And that's the one. There's two people that I think are going to show up that I have completely no evidence of. I just want to, and I really think they could. And I think Charlie Cox is one of them. This is a great introduction again, a reintroduction of him again. Especially to the big screen. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm going to say 100. I'll put money on it. $2 though. Only $2.
Okay. Real money?
$2.
Yeah. $2.
Not fake money. Real money. Oh my gosh.
Let me go put my Monopoly board away. Hold on.
All right, guys. So what about Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy or Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane?
I don't think we'd get either, but I feel sorry. I don't think we get either, but I think we'd more get Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy than we'd get Kirsten Dunst as MJ.
And the reasoning behind that is because in the trailer, like it's everyone that Spider-Man has killed, right? Technically, Gwen Stacy was killed by Spider-Man, so it might be
true.
Right?
Hey yo! If Gwen Stacy shows up, technically Andrew Garfield killed her, that would be some really harsh stuff for Andrew Garfield to actually deal with. Because like the universe is saying, it's your fault. You did it. It wasn't him. It was you.
Yeah.
That would be harsh. That would be so harsh on a cosmic level. I really oh man. That's a crazy idea.
Yeah, I agree. If there's ever an opportunity, Kirsten Dunst probably not likely at all, but Emma Stone does have some does have some like skin in the game in terms of obviously like Matt mentioned, at the hands of Spider-Man. So, but to what extent would be the interesting dilemma? Like, would we get kind of how we got with Into the Spider-Verse where Kingpin was trying to find a way to bring back his wife from another universe and he just got glimpses? Are we going to get like full Gwen Stacy? Are we going to get glimpses? Is that going to be something that is a part of the journey for Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in this one, in the film itself, you know, recognizing obviously, you know, oh, if these are the ghosts of, you know, that are at my hands, then, you know, this is something that I have to hold myself accountable to, kind of thing. But yeah, I think Emma Stone's more likely. I don't know how strong of a percentage I think that holds, maybe like 25% possibility. I don't think very high, because then, like we were saying, there's already so much going on in this film. There's going to be so many different characters we're going to have to be attaching ourselves to and watching and following with the journey. Adding that as a part of the whole storyline might be a bit pressing.
The only bonus I would give to them, the only nod I'd give to them for this, is if they did like Spider-Gwen and it was like Emma Stone now as Spider-Gwen, just because it's like her aging, and I would be like, oh my God, this is so fun. But I don't think Emma Stone would be like, yeah, okay, I'm okay with playing this very small role.
Right.
I hear me out, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if there was a nod to Kirsten Dunst where it's just like in the background, you know, in Spider-Man 2, she was on Broadway and it was like her movie poster or like her theater poster everywhere.
It's oh my God.
Theater poster
of her
that'd
in the background,
fine.
You know?
I would love that. At least that, please, Marvel, please. That'd be so great. That'd be
She's actually fresh. In the cast for Rogers the Musical, so.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be so good.
That would actually just be funny if Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man were just the film Spider-Man, so that in some kind of alternate universe, he is just the famous Spider-Man. He's just like, oh, I'm just a celebrity. I'm not actually Spider-Man. My movies just took off. I shouldn't be here right now. If that was ever a case, funny. I would lose my shit, and I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad, Kevin Feige.
Okay, we're gonna rapid fire these next ones. Yeah, okay. So just like hit me with the percentage and like a quick reason why you feel that way, but. Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. I mean, that's the big name these days.
Yeah, low. Like, maybe low? 20%.
Oh. Depends on if he's the black kid in... if he is the black kid in Hawkeye. Because if he is the black kid in Hawkeye, then it cannot be Vincent D'Onofrio.
The Karate Kid. Mm.
Yeah, I think very low for that one, too.
Yeah.
I love
okay.
him.
Yeah, yeah. It does make sense. I feel like that's more of a Hawkeye thing. So, yeah, I would say low as well. Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff.
Post credits
for me. Yeah, post credits.
Well,
that's where I'm at too. That's where I'm at too. Post credits for sure.
Just because
we already have solves too many problems or causes too many problems.
Yeah, because we already have Doctor Strange as the mystical being in this one and doing all the stuff. To have someone like Wanda come in and kind of overpower that would be, like I said, stretching a bit.
I think she's gonna show up in the Doctor Strange one.
I think she'll be post credits, you know, because this is technically part one of, right? They said that like multiverse would technically be part two of this story. So I think she'll show up post credits and do something. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll just be like,
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are the real Brady Bros. Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who are you again?
I played Peter. We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
I need your help. Ah, no, that's my post-credit scene. It's me. I need your
why
help.
Why did you have a deep voice? I need your help.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
they're just pretty much reenacting that scene from Justice League.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bruce.
Oh man. But oh, I think that's where it's gonna happen. For I'm just gonna be like, I need your help. And that's like
so yeah, this hard New Jersey. I need your help.
I know, I need your help. It's strange, I need your help.
Then mountains over and God knows where.
All right, how about any of the X-Men? Like any of the Fox X-Men?
Yeah,
low.
No. Very
I think low. Very
I would say like it would be a lot for one movie. And I know that Spider-Man 3s do have the tendency to cram things in, but I think that would be way too much to put the X-Men into
way
this
too
movie.
Much.
As because we already have Netflix elements and all these Sony elements that, all right.
Yeah.
I would explode. I would explode.
Yeah.
Frankly.
I think that's a 14,605,000 chances of that, and only one of them is the one.
I saw you using the time stone before the show. I was wondering what you were doing.
Yeah.
Now I know. And finally, how about a newly cast live-action Miles Morales, or like we brought up earlier, Gwen Stacy?
Hi. I think Miles Morales is going to show up. Let me tell you. Ooh. Let me tell you. I think it's way too soon, but what I love about the ending credits, the post-credit scenes, are like things I just didn't. I was like, how are they going to jump that quick? Like the end of Venom, I was like, oh, shit, we are? We're starting? I didn't know we were starting already. I thought it was going to take like two more years. Here? I was, and then I was like, also with Venom? I was like, oh, my God. I was like, there's other Sony properties that we need to start first. So I was like, I love those post-credit scenes. I'm never prepared for them. Even in Eternals, I was like, oh, my God, what? Like, I'm not prepared for them. So I think this is one that also comes from the fucking left field, because I want everybody to go back into their holes, go back to their times, but I want him to end up going back to school. Everything's back to normal. He runs into another kid, drops papers, looks up, and he goes, sorry, I'm new here. My name's Miles. And I go, whoa! So I want that to be the end credit scene, because he didn't go back in his portal. I think he stays in this timeline, and I want that to be like something we see. I want him to just show up at his school, be going to the same school, just transferred, Miles Morales. Like, so Miles, I'm holding on to.
Very satisfying. That, and it makes sense because Aaron Davis was teased, and like, it's just the seeds are there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not trying to rush, but also like, Sony just dropped the trailer. MCU, hurry up, like, try to beat them to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying, it's like, what better rush than just putting it in right now?
Did anyone else feel like, I feel like that, I also would love Miles to show up. I think it's gonna, if he did, it would be like that quick. You know, like just as Jessica said, exactly like that. Like a quick, oh, crap, he's here. You know, holy crap. but I think there's a, I would say, I'm going to say 50% on that one.
50% okay, chance. 50-50. For Miles specifically?
Yeah, and I would love that. I would like, we already confirmed that he's in this universe, you know, with Aaron Davis as Donald Glover, you know, in Spider-Man Homecoming. Like I got uncle or a nephew in Brooklyn, you know, like that's Miles. He's here.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's around. He's
doing things. Think Gwen Stacy, though. We'll get Spider-Gwen. I don't think we'll get Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
I would love, at the very least, if we just saw some graffiti from Miles, like somewhere that we like, you could just be like, yeah, that's 100%
that'll be something to pay attention to.
Miles. I would love that, at the very least. Just put that in, Marvel. If it's not in there already, just put it in. I would
watch
love
Miles
it.
Have done the graffiti of Iron Man when he died in the Spider-Man. Second film.
Oh my God. Oh, tell me that was true, Marvel. Tell me that was true.
We'd love to see it.
That is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that so much. Like, imagine if it was him and his uncle. They would totally do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
together.
God.
That'd like,
be fun.
Yo.
Yeah.
My God. Anyway, you guys are all amazing. These are all amazing percentages. You guys have amazing thoughts. I love all you guys. You guys are so smart. So smart.
So
all of you guys get the equal amounts of points. Like, I don't even think we can award points. We're just doing
you can't
percentages.
Really, yeah.
But anyways, up next, we will try to predict what comes after No Way Home, because this is what we do here. Mm-hmm. But first, there is a new latest Obsession shirt inspired by Hawkeye available at newrockstarsmerch.com. It has a really cool design, comes in three colors, which is the highest number there is, three, and is officially the best shirt to wear while watching new Hawkeye episodes featuring Haley Steinfeld and the Winking Dog. So find these shirts and all the great merch options over at newrockstarsmerch.com. But hey, cryptocurrency might feel like it's a secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. So whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. So Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. and they support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. And they offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. So whether you're looking to diversify, just getting started, or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. And for a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/rogue. Sign up at coinbase.com/rogue for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/rogue. And hey, also, we recently just got some socks from Stance, and they're both incredibly comfortable and also well-designed. They feel great and they're unique, and my feet have never looked more hip. My feet feel special for once in their lives. Founded in 2009, Stance Apparel represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel. With a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity, Stance brings an atypical aesthetic alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression. Because everything you wear should be a direct expression of who you are and how you feel. And they have a lot of stylish collaborations with brands you love, and they currently have sock collaborations with, you know, Marvel, Pixar, and Star Wars. And they have other collabs with the Wu-Tang Clan, They Ain't Nothing to Mess With, Major League Baseball, and all kinds of cool designers. And I'm planning on wearing a pair of Buddy the Elf socks around the house on Christmas to impress my family and any delivery drivers that catch a glimpse. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. So go see for yourself, register for an account at stance.com, and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code ROGUE at checkout to apply. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. And there's not a lot of time left for holiday shopping, and that's where Faherty comes in. They have gifts for everyone on your list. Faherty is a family-run brand making high-quality, timeless clothing with modern design and functionality. So you know when you're searching for the coziest gifts that are practical and cool? Flannels that feel like you've had them for years? Expedition-ready parkas, super soft sweaters, and cords? Well, that's Faherty. Several staff members have Faherty clothes that they absolutely love, and they look great and feel great. True story, off-screen producer Zach recently heard famous director Judd Apatow at a live comedy show say that they're his favorite brand of shirt. And Judd would not lie. Not once would he do that. They're so confident in the quality of their stuff that they have a lifetime guarantee of quality, and they'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And on top of it all, Faherty is giving all Rogue Theory listeners 20% off right now. 20% off! That is 20% off! And you've probably heard this already, but thanks to this pandemic, shipping delays are going to be major this year. So, start shopping now to get all of your gifts before the holidays. Head to fahertybrand.com/rogue and use code ROGUE at checkout to get 20% off your first purchase. That's code ROGUE at Faherty, FAHERTYBRAND.com/rogue. For 20% off, period. That's the end. I don't know why I thought I was going to say more. Now it is time for our second topic of the day, which is more Spider-Man stuff. Guys, what are your Spider-Man No Way Home post-credit scene predictions? Because it's a Marvel tradition. We're going to have some post-credit scenes. So, like, okay, give me your predictions for a mid-credit scene and a post-credit scene. Or if you can only do one, then one is fine. But, like, it'd be cool if you could do two. But
I could do two. I got you. So,
all right.
Mid-credit scene would be hilariously at the end of everything. Peter and Tom Holland, Peter and MJ decide to move in together. They find this apartment, they get a knock at the door. It's the landlord. It opens the door, and it's actually Mr. Dickovich from Spider-Man 2 or 3, I think, Spider-Man 3. And have him come back. Because I don't know if you guys know, but that was Sam Raimi's homage to Steve Ditko. In that film, so to bring him back would be really cool to kind of come full circle. it promises crackers, my daughter would be fat. That kind of whole thing, you know. So that would be my mid credit. My end credit would be if Spider-Man somehow is talking with Doctor Strange, and then something happens, and a portal opens up, and then Tom finds himself in the Miles Morales second film. of the Into the Spider-Verse sequel.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Hey, that wasn't mine, but that is sick. And I want that to happen.
Sony would do it. And like everyone would love Sony for it. And like, you know, we do have that part two coming after part one.
Yeah.
Let's get it going. Let's get it popping. I love it. I love it. What do you got? What else we got? What else we got?
Give me a second. I also picked a hangnail so I'm bleeding. <It's->
I hate hangnails hey, so congrats, much. Though.
Like sometimes you just gotta like bite your lip and pull, you know?
I hate hangnails so much. They're literally the worst.
Okay, so yeah. Obviously, I clearly want Miles Morales to jump in, but this is now for rogue points. So take that out of here. I think a good mid-credit scene. For the way, I want Carol Danvers and Monica to show up. So much destruction has happened. I feel like it's time for Carol Danvers to show up randomly and be like, okay, too many holes have opened in the world and I'm seeing them in the middle of outer space. I know that we're trying to see them when we see Nick Fury next, but I think they're going to come through in this part as just like a tee up for like, this is a big deal. No one's really working on it. If it's taking up three movies, then they should bring in more people. So I think this is where Monica will probably show up and be like, yo, you guys all it up or Carol Danvers, one of the two.
No, I think that's a really good idea, considering that if you think about Avengers Endgame, all these energies are coming from Earth, and so like our Earth is like making so much noise on a cosmic scale that so many people are probably so many aliens are probably super curious about what's going on Earth. So if we have another huge cosmic blast with whatever happened over the Statue of Liberty, I'm sure Carol's gonna be like, we gotta be quiet because we're just we're attracting too much attention and people think that we're cooler than we actually are.
Yeah, keep it on the DL. And I think for a post-credit scene, and this is honestly, this is just as kooky as the Miles Morales, if not just completely crazy. I think as everything is kind of settled down, it's quiet. We're like on an alley, and then out of the trash pops Deadpool, and he's like, what did I miss? Like, what's going on? And that's how we finally get our introduction and connection.
Oh my God. I would shit myself. I would poop my pants.
I would poop my pants.
That would be the biggest out of nowhere. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Oh my God.
Yeah, or if he fell through his own little portal. Like, maybe they thought they cleaned it all up, and then he just falls through and falls into the trash. And when he gets out of the trash, it's Deadpool.
Yo, if you're telling me that the next Spider-Man movie is Spider-Man and Deadpool, that would sell a bajillion dollars.
I would watch it a million times.
$1 million.
Because, like, we don't get actually resolution at the end of the second Deadpool movie when he's traveling through not just time.
That's
because all we know is
he
just time. But maybe through the course of whatever happens in Spider-Man, maybe we get like a slight glimpse of something of like while he's traveling, it gets bumped into another, you know, universe timeline and then shows up. I mean, that would be really cool. And that'd be a really interesting way for them to introduce him.
Yeah.
Kudos.
And X-Men,
nice.
In general. It's like, oh, X-Men, they're coming. Mm-hmm.
Here they are.
It's like, where's the bald man in the wheelchair? I got to go look for him. He knows the answer.
I think these can be kind of reverse. I do think there will be like a funny one in the middle. And this is pretty funny. You don't have to say that because I just set myself up for it to not be funny. Anyways, but I think these can be you can flip these, right? So the first one there's definitely going to be a connection with with Doctor Strange, and this will be at the very very end. At the last credit scene, it's like Doctor Strange is like, you know, like they got all the Spider-Man villains away, but there's some like things aren't right. Things are not right. And that's when walks through one of the portals is Shang-Chi and Katie walk through. Like, like, because, you know, they talked about how the rings were like the center. There's like a beacon. And I think it's going to tie into Multiverse of Madness. I think that we'll see a glimpse of that. And how this movie, like, because we, you know, Peter messed up everything and then it caused something to trigger in those rings. So I think we'll see something along those lines. And then the other post-credit scenes is because things are back to normal. I think we're going to see remnants of like the Sony universe coming over and they're here forever now. And I think, you know, I do agree with Eddie that I think MJ and Peter will probably like move in together or something. But they're like, oh, we need a job. So Peter's going to go work at the Daily Bugle. And he'll like be like, oh, I can take pictures of things. I can take pictures. And then J. Jonah James is like, oh yeah. Like what do you think you got? And then he'll look down at a photo on the newspaper and it's Morbius. And it's like, vampire in New York. And then he's like, I can take pictures of Spider-Man with Morbius or with that guy right there. And he's like, oh, get at my desk tomorrow morning. I think that will be like the connection to, you know, the rest of the Sony universe coming in with the MCU officially. Those are my two.
I like that you brought up the possibility of a Shang-Chi Spider-Man team up, because I'm a huge proponent for Shang-Chi and Spider-Man to be in a movie together with Martin Lee and the Venom symbiote, because like.
Exactly.
It's literally perfect. That literally, you could tie it all together and like, oh man, I just want to see Martin Lee on screen because I think he's a really great Spider-Man villain. No, these are all amazing theories, but I'm going to have to give the rogue point here to my man Eddie, because Tom Holland inside of Into the Spider-Verse 2 or in any Into the Spider-Verse sequel, I need it. I need it inside of my eyeballs. And he would be great. I would love to just see a little cartoon Tom Holland. Can't get enough of Tom Holland. He's America's treasure. Wait, no, he's not from America. He's Britain's
London's treasure.
I would love it if he like it was it, even if he wasn't anime, he got like Roger Rabbited into like that universe, you know. Mm-hmm.
I would love it, bro. It would be great. It would be so cool.
The first thing he meets is Spider Pig, and it's just like, it'd be great.
What are you doing here?
But yes, these were all great answers. But before we continue, guys, there is nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help give you confidence where it counts. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. But you will, wait, are you guys laughing at the Blue Chew thing? What are you guys laughing? I
am. Just the segue. That was a perfect segue.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, just take them responsibly so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. BlueChew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. So, if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo ROGUE, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. Now, guys, now it is time for our Rogue question of the day. And now, as we all know, Kevin Feige made all of our dreams come true when he has confirmed that the MCU's Daredevil will be Charlie Cox himself. We just don't know when he's going to appear, but we know when he does appear, the horns will be over the head of Charlie Cox. Amazing. Thank you, Kevin Feige. We love you forever. So, pitch me your roguest theories on how Daredevil could make his debut inside of the MCU.
Well, other than me pitching in Spider-Man, I think the best part and what I want to see him in is She-Hulk. I want to see him go head-to-head with She-Hulk. I want him to either work together with her, or I want them to work against each other. I want them to both be defending the wrong people. And I want it. It will be so fun to watch these two superheroes that either know that they have powers, or know that they don't have powers, going at it like in real life by day, and then at night going against each other or what have you. But I just think that world's already set up for a lawyer. Why not throw Charlie Cox in there? Perfect.
We're in the law phase of the MCU.
The multiverse. Bring me to legal action.
There you go.
I was also going to say it's going to be in She-Hulk, because that makes the most sense to me. Unless Doctor Strange wants to make a new Defenders.
Hey, he was on the Defenders team in the comics.
Yeah, and he gets like some people in and stuff like that. Another way he could come in, maybe like, because it might be Miss Marvel, right? Because like, what if Kamala doesn't know, like she like is scared about her powers or something like that, and like maybe she destroys something, or it might be something like the superhero Children Act that was like recent in comics. It's the name I'm blanking on, but it was like superheroes, kids shouldn't be superheroes, right? Maybe he shows up there to like help her out, you know? So that could be a cool intro too.
Let's see, because oh my god, you guys, Jess, you killed it with that answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true.
To be honest, like, I want to see, to be quite frank, I want to see Charlie Cox in a major film. Like, I want to see him on the big screen. I want to see him be revealed in the way that just really highlights exactly what we've known for this entire time, is that Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock / Daredevil is an amazing character. I would almost kind of push to say, like, maybe a great opportunity where we see him kind of headline the film alongside with like Blade. I would like to see him come out in that opportunity, showcasing, you know, where the hangout of some of the vampires are like in Hell's Kitchen, and Blade has to team up to a certain extent with the local Avenger in that area, the local, fighter. And he finds Charlie Cox's, you know, Daredevil, and they go and they try to start eliminating some of those dens of vampires and things like that in Hell's Kitchen. Like, I feel like that would be a really great way to highlight Charlie Cox and really get him to be more than just a, you know, appearance, but actually show that he's got longevity in the MCU further down the road.
That kind of sparked an idea for me.
Yeah, you know, go for it. That's why I love having a conversation with you guys. Because
I just remember that Ironheart's coming out, right? And when Ironheart first comes onto the scene, she's like, you know, people think she stole this tech and all this stuff from Tony Stark. Yeah. So maybe she gets into a legal dispute and Charlie Cox Daredevil is actually not a bad guy, but he's like the defense lawyer against Riri. That's when he shows up, realizes like the people that he's representing are actually messed up, and then he like, has a change of heart. But maybe that could also be a fun place for him to show up. It's against Riri in the beginning, but then he like changes sides. Because I forgot Ironheart was coming out.
I really like, I wanted a second Eddie's because I was like, it would be really fun to see him teaming up with Blade, especially if him and Blade are friends, because I think mm-hmm. this Blade's a slightly different than what we saw in like the 90s, clearly. Oh, yeah. That I think he's still doing what he's doing legally. I think because of Eternals, what we saw him working with Kit Harington, I think it's like, we still are going to like try to stay on the law's end of things a little bit. You're mm-hmm. working with such a rich person. It's kind of hard to like stay off the radar messing with rich people. So I think he's going to be like friends with Daredevil just so he can say straight up like, hey, listen here. They're on your tail. They're on your, like, they're coming for you. You got to do something about it. And that'd be really fun to see them as like a team. I would eat that shit up.
I would also love a Daredevil link up with the more mystical street fighters like your Blades, because Elektra is mm-hmm. like, she is this person that resurrects in the comics, and I feel like you can easily tie Daredevil to the Blade universe
with the Elektra hand and all that. And
I'm more hyped about the possibility of Elektra, honestly, because you know that Elektra's coming. She was a fantastic part of that show.
Oh, yeah.
But out of all of these answers, I'm going to have to give it to Jess, because that was just too good.
Yeah.
It's just,
She-Hulk
is the best.
She-Hulk is
going to
be so good and so fun.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I love the tone. You know what? I'm going to say, because we got good answers from Matt earlier, I'm going to say everybody wins this episode.
Matt, that was a pity vote. Matt, that was a pity vote.
That was not a pity vote. No, Matt had some great insights this episode, especially during the first
you did.
MT doing his Oprah impression. You get a point, and you get a point, and you get a point.
Everyone gets a point. We're all winners because we're getting Spider-Man very, very soon.
We're all winners
in
Jesus.
Yes.
Happy holidays. We all get Spider-Man. Spider-Man, The Matrix. Can't wait.
There you go.
Oh my God, The Matrix. Yes. There is no spoon, everybody. But that is it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thank you so much to our guests, Jessica Clemens, Matt Acevedo, and Eddie Villanueva. Please support them wherever they are. Follow them on Twitter. They're all amazing, amazing people. And support our channel by checking out all of our awesome merch at newrockstarsmerch.com. And hey, if you want to talk more about this episode on Rogue Theory, search for us on Discord and join some of the channels that we've opened up to the public. So, if you're over 18 and interested, search for the New Rockstars Discord server and join the conversation. Again, you can follow me at MasterTammy if you want to see me tweet some really weird shit. Follow New Rockstars on all social platforms, and be sure to subscribe to our channel here on YouTube. We'll see you guys next time. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for watching and having fun with us. We'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Bye.